Welcome to episode 531 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel, from supporting local economies to learning about new cultures. The experience that travel provides helps us to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, and Anna. The Galapagos National Park began in 1959 with very limited resources. In 1967, Lars Erik Lindblad put together the first traveler's expedition on a chartered Chilean Navy vessel. For more than 50 years, Lindblad has helped curious travelers experience the world while actively playing a role in preserving the world's natural wonders for future generations. Recently, Lindsay had the opportunity to explore the Galapagos Islands aboard the National Geographic Islander and is here to share. So let's get started. So this is a big bucket list thing.
This was my number one bucket list thing.
Everybody, well, there you go. And I'm glad you finally got to do it.
Where would you go? Or 77 countries. Where would you go? This was it. This was such a big thing for me that I was scared to tell anybody I was doing it, because I was convinced that, like, if
something's going to happen,
it's not going to be real. I'm going to get sick. Something's going to
COVID's coming back.
So I was so nervous. I was literally pinching myself right, you know, even after I got on the ship, I was, I think I might have breathed a sigh of relief finally on the last day, like, well, made it. But yeah, that's how big this was for me. I mean, I grew up like everyone else did, obsessed with National Geographic.
And watching Mutual of Omaha.
You know, I would hoard the magazines. I'd find them at yard sales in Wisconsin. And my walls were just covered with cutout pictures of all the places I wanted to go. And they all came from cannibalized National Geographic magazines. So, and I, you know, before I was a travel advisor, I didn't really know very much about Lindblad, and learning about the history of this company, and seeing what a natural fit it was for them to partner with National Geographic, really just makes sense. Their whole origin story is incredibly inspiring. He took the first travelers to Antarctica. And the first travelers, wow, to Galapagos. And then not only that, he saw that the park was going to need rangers, so he sponsored rangers. And then he saw there was going to need to be a plan in place for when more tourists came. He's a very forward-thinking gentleman, and he was able to look in the future and say, okay, we've got to preserve this. So the plan, the scientists that he sponsored and paid for, Harris, I think is his name, wrote the plan that they're still using today to preserve this.
Yeah, because they're protective, right?
And so to get to experience this with Lindblad National Geographic was just bucket list.
And I know we should mention too that we did a podcast a few months ago on another cruise line that some of our agents went to the Galapagos. So if you really want to dig in deep, you can go back and listen to that one and see, like, the difference of the travel styles too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Lindsay, where did you start?
So I started in, like all good trips, I had a wonderful travel partner who goes with me on some of these trips, and she unfortunately could not get a lot of time off. So we did not go to Quito. We started off in Guayaquil.
Okay.
But I'm so glad we did, because everything I'd read, I was kind of originally going to come in and just go stay at the hotel, which is Hotel Del Parque, which is a beautiful hotel outside of the city. And then we were just going to hang around the hotel, but I have that I want to see everything bug.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a tour. And we found a wonderful tour guide, and she took us around the city, and we did a city tour. And then through the hotel, we were able to book a coffee experience, which was wonderful. A gentleman who owns one of the local coffee shops came in and did a coffee tasting for us, set it up. And when I fell in love with some of the coffee, he actually brought some back for us
Nice.
To take home.
Came back through to take.
Oh, that's great.
Blood, take home. And then we did a cacao experience. This hotel, I should say, is right outside of Guayaquil. And it's an old hospital that's been redone into a hotel. And the rooms are just gorgeous. I think it's a very, very nice hotel.
They renovate rather than tear down. And
yeah, that's my favorite place to stay, is something that used to be something else, something that's on its second life. but it's on a nature reserve. So there's a whole whopping $5 or so. We were able to go walk through and see all these beautiful animals and right there on the property. And there was some little food carts and food shack, so we got some good empanadas and some coconut ice cream. And
is this part of, like, if you're booking this with Lindblad, is this like part of the included thing, or is it something you did separate?
So the hotel, I did add some nights on, but there was one night that was with the cruise I did. So the Wild Escape, this itinerary, you can actually do it back to back, which if I had been going solo is what I would have done. I would have done back to back, because in the Galapagos, the same ship can't visit the same islands more than once in a 2-week span. So even though it's sailing every week, they're going to different islands. So if you stay on for 2 weeks, which many of the people who we were on board with had either been on previously the week before or were staying the week after, and would have extended and done that. So I'm just gonna have to go back.
Yeah, you got another week down there you gotta spend.
Yeah, I got another week. I got actually two more. There's three different routes you can do. But so this was included as part of this is the hotel they use, and it's a beautiful property, great location. Even for the tour that we did going back into the city, it was super convenient. They take care of everything, kind of a door-to-door experience. Because I was making my own arrangements, we did Uber in, or not Uber in, we taxied in, and it was $10 to get a taxi in. But normally that's included. You get your transfers included to the pre-night hotel location, and your breakfast, and everybody kind of meets there the day that we fly. We met there for breakfast the day that we flew to Baltra, and that's included. That flight is included in the cruise price. I was really surprised at all that was included in this. We have a tendency, I think, sometimes to think luxury minded. I've experienced other luxury products where it's more luxury focused on maybe the thread count or the frills. This is luxury in a different vein. This is luxury in experience. This is luxury in the fact that we're the Islander 2, which is the ship that we're on. I think it has a max of 40, and George isn't here to correct me, but I think it's like 48 or 40 some passengers. We only had 30. Awesome. We had 30 some, maybe 31 or 32 people on board, and
wow,
56 crew members. And
oh,
one of the things that Lindblad does that I absolutely fell in love with is, so a lot of all of the people on the ship are local. Everyone. Wow. They hire local. Your guides, your naturalists, the crew, everyone is local. So this is their home. This isn't a place that they fell in love with as a secondary home like it is for the rest of us. This is their actual home. And I think that just brings a little something to it. We had 5 naturalists on board. We had a photographer who was also a diver. No one does the expedition team like Lindblad. I've experienced other products where you have an expert or maybe one or two experts with you. They have a whole staff of experts.
Nice.
And this ship is beautiful. Don't think yacht style sailing.
Okay.
Very much yacht style sailing. But with, instead of that, you know, we had very comfortable cabins, very beautifully appointed. The ship was gorgeous. There was a, there was an amazing sauna on board. There was a gym, which I did not use. Sorry.
When I'm on a cruise ship, I never use the gym.
There was a pool. Well, if I'd been on for 2 weeks, I would have used it. I did notice some of the people who were doing back-to-back had managed to, but I was so nervous about some of the things we were doing and about whether or not I would be able to do them, because I'm a bigger girl. I was worried about, am I going to fit in a wetsuit? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to get in and out of the Zodiac? Am I going to be able to, you know, all these, am I going to be able to hike? Am I, what's going to happen? That I was so focused on that I was not, I mean, I was in bed earlier than Sandy's ever gone to bed.
What? No.
Yes.
They must not have had a bar or a nightclub on board.
They did. They did have a bar, and it was included.
Included. Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, and then every night we had a talk about what would happen the next day, and or a briefing. There's underwater cameras there with a microscope camera, so you can see the little plankton. And this is where I'm going to fail all the science lessons.
Interesting.
That they gave me so in depth. There's there's just so much that I learned that I did not expect to endure. I think I'm a lifelong learner, but I'm not, let's read the science textbook learner. All right. And I was able to digest and to enjoy, everything we experienced on board and that they shared with us. And, it was wonderful. So I was in bed earlier on this cruise than normal.
So how did the activities go? I know you've been working out, so I know you're up for more stuff like that.
Yeah. So, got to experience what it was like the very first day to get in. Cause we had to, when we arrived, we had to get in the Zodiac to go to the ship. And then, so that was that first initial getting in there was, oh, but they took care of the bags. Thank goodness. Cause I could not imagine taking my luggage in and out of a Zodiac.
God, no.
And the platform is, I mean, this is a new ship. So this is a very level, easy in, easy out. We had some people with mobility issues and they did not have any issues. This is a ship that had five sets of stairs. I think there's five floors because there's my brain is, sorry.
Like an observation deck or something?
Yeah, the observation deck with the pool up on top. And then there was the fourth floor, which is where the restaurant and the lounge was. And third, and then second is where the lobby area was. And then the bottom floor is where the wet room and the Zodiac landing. And
so when you say people had some mobility issues, but you really couldn't be like, you have to be able to walk.
You have to be able to walk and do stairs. And what I meant by mobility is that some people had were maybe a little bit slower, but, and they had
like me around stairs.
Yeah. I have a really cool picture for the day that they, cause I was very interested in all the water sports they offer, cause they had kayaking and they had paddle boarding that you could do, and they had glass bottom boats and they had Zodiacs and they had, and so I have this picture where we would, every morning we would eat our breakfast out on the, open patio, area, and look out behind the ship, and here there were all the boats and all the watercraft was like just lined up attached to each other and connected to each other. It was kind of neat to see him pulling it in and getting people in to go do stuff. So there were opportunities for people to kayak who wanted to do that and paddleboard who wanted to do that. I did not do either of those things because I was focused on snorkeling and hiking in the Zodiacs. But it was much more accessible than I thought it was going to be. I fit in the wetsuit. I didn't think I was going to do that. In fact, the only thing I had a problem fitting was the snorkel and that the mask. That's only because I had too much sunscreen on. So, and I even like how they do that. They kind of ease you into it. The first time they had us put the snorkel, go down there and get fitted. It fit fine. But then once I got into actual real water, of course, that's when that's when you have an issue. But they did kind of like a little test day where you were snorkeling from the beach, which was great because then you could just kind of get, you know, and then I realized I need to change my mask. And so once I changed my mask and then the next day just didn't put any sunscreen on or wipe my sunscreen off around my face.
I would think that the water would be warm enough to not have a wetsuit though.
It gets pretty cold. I mean, this is a part of the world where you're getting hot and cold currents. This is why you can get the unique mix of wildlife that you experience there, because you just don't know if you're going to get the hotter or the colder currents of water. And I really wish I had written down what the temperature of the water was, because they told us every day and I have completely forgotten now.
Did they tell you in Celsius though? Because that would be nothing to me.
These are made up numbers. This isn't real.
What does that mean?
Yeah. I have to, before I forget, I know I'm jumping around a lot and I apologize, but before I forget, I have to say the sleeper on this experience, I knew they were going to be the best of the best when it came to the guides and the experience and the story and the history and really bringing nature to life for us. I knew that was going to be top of the line. I knew the ship was going to be top of the line. The food. Oh my God. The food was phenomenal. I was expecting good. I was not expecting to want to lick my plate every day.
Wow. Was it just the one dining room?
So yes, it's just the one everybody had, you know, I guess two different dining areas, but one dining service, I should say. Gotcha. So there was no choice for a meal. I think on the longer sailings, I mean, there was a grill upstairs, an outdoor grill where I think summer when it's hotter or whatever, they could have something open up there. That's where we had our wine and cheese tasting, which was unexpected for this. I did not expect to have a wine tasting of local wines and cheeses, but we did, and it was fantastic. But the food, so good. I was blown away. I ate so many things I never had before in my life, and
so it was very local. Like,
yes, I mean, everything was local and fresh to the point. I think I have a picture of the chef with a scorpion fish that he.
Interesting.
One night. So everything was super, super fresh and local and all to that region and expertly prepared. And I got to say, it's probably a lot easier to make food taste that good when you're only cooking for 48 people.
Yeah, true. It's not like a mass project. Yeah.
You're not thousands of people on a grander scale. It really does kind of dilute.
It's actually hot when it comes to the table.
Yeah, yeah. shout out to the food staff was phenomenal. I wanted to take. We had the same server every day. Octavio was our guy, and I missed him so much when I went home. He knew exactly what Shannon and I wanted. We liked our juice mixed with the papaya and juice, and the pineapple or the orange juice, and brought us our coffee. And I was so spoiled. And up on the top deck, on the observation deck, there's a pool and lounge chairs, but then they also have right along the aft of the ship is just a row of hammocks. Ooh, and so nice. I was up there every chance I got. That's where my free time was. When I should have been in the gym or the sauna, I was laid in a hammock reading a book.
Well, I mean, if you were hiking, that counts for something too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I did hike. There was one day, you know, I will say they had me scared a couple times during the talks because they really do go, now it's a wet landing and we're going to put towels down, but it can be slippery and you can't. I bought these walking sticks from Eddie Bauer and I'm so glad I did. I think I got them at Outlet Mall for like $25. Really, really helped my peace of mind to not fall.
I did. That's cool. Yeah.
I did pretty good. But I was really worried that day. It was like a 6 a.m. hike. And I was so nervous that there was local entertainment coming on board, kind of like on a river cruise. Local dancers and musicians came on board, but I was already in bed because I went to bed right after dinner. So I didn't want to miss the hike in the morning, and I was so nervous whether or not I'd physically be able to. But I had no problems with any of the physical aspects, the The snorkeling, I was a little scared first getting in the water because I didn't know how the current would be and if I would be strong enough, but it was fine. Everything was great. We got very lucky. We saw we saw everything. Blue-footed boobies. We saw penguins. I have really cool video of flightless Coromandel diving under the water and swimming.
Oh, wow.
On accident. I was literally just shooting pictures of people's feet underwater, just trying to figure out how to use my GoPro. And then I have this one clear shot of this bird sailing right in front of me.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I got some video footage of a sea lion diving under the water. He was kind of swimming over by us, and he goes right up to the photographer, and then he swims away. And I got that on footage, and I got the tortoises in Santa Cruz, seeing the tortoises at this. We stopped and had lunch at this local ranch, this family owned local ranch where the tortoises migrate through. And there are just so many of them. They're massive. Yeah. I've never seen anything so big. And I did get stalked by one.
Got stalked by one?
Yeah, I got stalked by a giant tortoise. Okay. I had a green shirt on, and then I also had a green backpack on, which is probably not the wisest move because the eyesight's not that good.
How fast are they?
They're not really fast, but when you're not paying attention because you're trying to get a good picture of the other tortoises lined up, I kind of heard grass crunching behind me, and I'm like, so I flip the camera around and have this really cool video of him like trying to creep up on me. And then I start walking because I'm like, I want to maintain the 6 feet. I didn't want to break any rules, but he was coming for me. I don't know. And they're slow, but they're really heavy and big, so you don't want them to catch you.
No.
So many videos and pictures. And
so what are the islands like? Because I'm picturing like taking a Zodiac to an island with blue-footed boobies and those tortoises, but like you're saying there were people on the islands and you went to a ranch, and so it's like towns and stuff.
I think I'm probably gonna say this wrong now. I know when they first started going there was only like 1,000 inhabitants, and now there's like 30 or 60 or so. There's a lot of people who live. And so there are cities. So that's the one thing I will say. People expect this to be this desolate area, just like Darwin.
Yeah. It's not a picture.
Journal. And there's a lot of the islands are a little bit like that, but there are cities where they are inhabited. And so Sandy, do you remember that video we saw with BBC Earth on Holland, America, where they shot the footage?
Where the lizards were trying to run?
Lizards were running from the snakes?
Yeah.
I was standing on that island, and I go, wait a minute. And I'm walking on the lava rock, and I go, wow. I've seen this somewhere before. And I asked the natural, like, is this from the video? Like, yeah, that's where it was.
Okay. So the snakes weren't, like, these, like, very venomous, like bad
I guess they are for the marine iguanas. They definitely are, but they weren't coming after us. That was one of the coolest things. I did get a video of a marine iguana swimming above the water, not under the water, but that was one of the coolest things to see of how here's this creature who shouldn't even exist here, shouldn't even be able to survive here, and here it's thriving to the point where they're everywhere.
Wow.
And it's so gross when they sneeze. It's like salt water's coming. Because they breathe in the salt water when they get on land, and then they expel it out in these, like, looks like they're shooting boogers everywhere. So you gotta watch where you're walking. And the sea lions were everywhere. And the sea lions had pups. So there were babies everywhere, and they're everywhere, and I just had to tell myself over and over again, you can't touch it, it's not a puppy,
can't hug it.
Mama would not like that.
Do not pet the sea lions. I know I'm all over the place, but this I probably
it sounds just amazing.
It was so incredible. I was in tears every day because every day we saw something You know, I learned so much about frigates. I never even knew what a frigate was. The frigate birds with the big red.
School us. What, tell us
the,
what they are.
The big red gullet. Okay, so there's giant blackbirds, and they've got this big red rubber, kind of like a balloon, the males do. And they puff it out. And what they're doing is they're trying to attract a female. So the males build nests. And then they puff out their gullet and they put their wings out and they try and look pretty. And while the females fly over and the females go, nah, I don't like this nest. You didn't put a whole lot of effort. I want a bigger nest by the water. I want a 2-car garage. they pick their mate and then they have their babies. The blue-footed boobies too. I did not know. I kind of thought, you know, because what do we see of blue-footed boobies? We just see what's on TV. Right? Yeah, you see the bright blue feet. Well, the pictures I have and the video I got were they had more pale feet because it wasn't mating season for them. They'd already had their babies. Okay. They weren't trying to attract females.
So they change. Interesting.
They change. And it's from, I believe, the sardines. There's something in, just like the flamingos.
Right.
Go eating pink shrimp. From shrimp.
Yeah.
There's something, I forget what it's called now, but there's something in what they're eating that's making their feet get that really rich blue color. And so when they're, during that season, they really end up, they ramp up on the food and they,
that's interesting.
Nice.
Their feet change color.
That's so strange. And then they go back. They get
pale. And then they go back. And then they're still blue, but this is a lighter, pale shade of blue. But and I didn't realize how rare it was to see the penguins that we saw. But I guess it was a big deal. The guides were really
what kind excited. Of penguins were they?
I'm a bad student.
They're the ones that wear the tuxedos.
The little ones with the tuxedos. I have video.
What time of year were you there?
So we were there November, end of November.
Okay.
And
was it cold enough that you needed a jacket at night or?
Oh gosh, no. It was definitely not. I mean, I had a hooded sweatshirt if I needed it. I think I had a light sweater I wore one night at dinner.
Okay.
And that was about it. I know that no one's going to be able to see this, so this is going to be lost on everyone else. But one of the coolest things is in the library, because yes, there's a library on board the ship, because that's how cool this is. there, the plant checklist of all the plants that you could mark off that you saw the plants, invertebrate sightings, your mammal sightings, your bird sightings, fish sightings. This is, if you are an animal lover, if you one of the ladies on this trip with us is a zoologist.
Oh wow!
And that was going to be my major in college when I was trying to decide what to do with my life was zoology. So animal lovers, this is the way to go.
Sounds awesome.
I would go back tomorrow. And my only regret is that I did not do the back-to-back. That's the only regret I have. But that's okay, because I know we signed up. We signed up to go next year.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're going again next year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it, in my estimate, next year is 2026. So
okay.
Not 25, but I can't wait to go back. I'd like to go see the red-footed boobies. I want to see the albatross.
Cool.
And it's just like when you go on a safari, every experience, every time we went out, we saw different animals. You know, it's a different experience every single time. So I know I'm rambling because I'm...
No, I think it's exciting. I'd be excited too.
I would too. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything you would like to end? Anything you would like to add as a final note?
Did I cover? Oh, yes. One more thing. So one of the things that I really love about Lindblad National Geographic is that, so on board you can donate. When you're on board, you can donate to the fund, and the money, they'll actually give you onboard credit.
Oh.
Credit for your next sailing with them or your next trip with them. And all of the, they support the local artisans in the area to the point where they bring them on board. They're the gallery, the shop on board. Of course, I'm talking about the shop on board. is all showcasing local artisans. Nice. So everything is handmade, and there's actually one night where they bring everybody on board and you get to meet the artists and buy special things that they bring on board and have there. And they take it a step further, much like I've only other seen one other company do this, where the stuff that they use on board from their ceramic cups, those are all local artisans made those. The water glasses in the room are these wine bottles that have been turned into glasses with etching on them that were done by local craftsmen. So, and that one of the excursions we did, on Santa Cruz, we went out to a farm in the Highland, or we went out to a farm where we got to, see how they make coffee and the moonshine. I bought a little moonshine. I bought a little coffee from the family owned.
Of course you did.
And some cacao from them. Nice. And that was a wonderful experience to get out there and kind of see how it was made. And
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There were, I could probably talk for like 8 hours. We did so much. but it was not a relaxing trip. This is not a kick your feet up.
No, because I guess you're going all that way. You want to see stuff.
It could be depending on the type of person you are. Cause there were often activities in the morning and then in the afternoon and you could pick, but I just did everything.
Of course. It's a bucket list item. And on top of that, it's not exactly a inexpensive thing. So you want to make sure you take advantage of every opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my friend Shannon did get sick. She got sick. She missed the last, but she missed, I think, 2 days in the middle. She missed the snorkeling. So the first day of the snorkeling, but she missed the next 2 days of the snorkeling because she just was not feeling well. And they took really good care of her on board. And
that stinks.
That's good. Yeah.
She was able to rally enough to be able to hike, do some of the hikes at the end. And, but yeah, so.
That's a bummer.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Sandy, Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.